Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today we are in the book of 1 Corinthians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and download the study guide to help you dig deeper. You can do these lessons on your own, with your women's church group, or gather some friends and learn together. These are some great discipleship tools. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, here we are again today, ladies, in the study in the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we'll be in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 13 through 27. And I've titled this lesson, Day 18, Run the Race, Don't Trip the Other Runners. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 13. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, and they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Okay, so I started us back a couple verses just so we could be reminded where Paul is coming from in this passage. Paul made the point that he had the right to receive his living from the work he was doing proclaiming the gospel, but Paul hasn't asked for that help, and he still isn't writing these words to change his mind and ask for help now. Paul makes this curious statement about being deprived of his ability to boast here. Well, gee, after all that Paul has been saying to these believers to condemn their pride, that seems sort of odd, doesn't it? However, that's not what is really going on here. Paul isn't pointing to himself or to his ability here. That word boast here gives the idea of something that you glory in, like a source of rejoicing. It carries that connotation, that of rejoicing and joy, not bragging. That's what we often associate with boasting. But that's not what's going on with Paul. So look at this with me. Paul says that he preaches out of necessity. He can't stop preaching. If we understand boasting here to be a source of joy for Paul, this makes sense. After all, what greater source of rejoicing could there be, especially for the Apostle Paul, than sharing the joy that he has in the risen Lord? He shares the gospel everywhere he goes. It doesn't matter if he's in jail or in the temple. He knows the eternal value of what he shares, and he won't be silent. He can't be. Paul has been given a charge by God, a direct mission to share the gospel with the Gentiles specifically, and he will steward that charge and fulfill that role for God's glory. Paul's reward in all of this is presenting the gospel free of charge, not because he was paid to do so, but because God charged him with this role. God called Paul to this role. This wasn't an act of Paul's will. In being called to this role, Paul has no reward to merit, but he gratefully stewards the role that God has given him. Paul then returns to what is our verse 1 of chapter 9, emphasizing his own particular freedom. Yet in his freedom, Paul has made himself a servant to all. Far from insisting on his rights, he sets all of them aside, including his rights to basic survival. Pause for a moment and contrast that with the Corinthian believers. They weren't willing to set aside anything because of matters of pride. They demanded their rights be of paramount importance, regardless of the consequences. When we go around emphasizing our rights over everything, ladies, we do the very least good for the kingdom of God. We are focused then on the kingdom of me, and it's evident when we are so focused on our rights. Paul's point is the restraint that he exercises of his own freedom for the benefit of all. He engages Jews as a Jew, honoring their customs and laws, while not being beholden himself to the laws. So, for example, if he was invited to dine with a Jewish family, he would respect the dietary laws and any appropriate cleansing laws, not because he thought eating pork was a sin or washing his hands made him more holy, but because his goal was not to offend those people by his eating and washing habits. To the Gentiles, he doesn't approach them from an Old Testament law manner, but in a respectful manner, respecting customs and such for them. As far as he's able to do this, he sets aside his rights. He wouldn't, for example, make an offering to a household god or idol, but where he can, he sets aside his own preferences and rights to enter into the lives of these people so he can share with them the hope of eternity that is only found in Jesus. Paul is never free to disobey God's moral law, but the dietary laws of the Old Testament were laid aside after Christ's resurrection. See Acts 10 for more information on that. Ladies, the gospel is offensive enough. If you've ever told anyone that they're a sinner and need a savior, you know no matter how gently you say that, there will be some pushback on that. We do not need to add to the offense of the gospel by being a stinker about how we interact with those around us. I'm emphasizing this because Paul's statement, "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I may save some," has sadly been mightily abused. Many will point to this verse to justify their debauchery. "Well, I only go to the bar so I can be all things to all people so that I can share the gospel with them. And of course I have to have a few drinks because if I'm not drinking as much as they are, they'll think I'm only there to convert them, not because I actually like them." Yeah, right. That statement Paul makes is not a license to sin so you can share Christ. This is not endorsing engaging in activities that you know are sinful, ladies, under the guise of winning as many as possible. I'm going to tell you flat out, Paul would not have gone to the brothels or to the temple prostitutes and entered in their place of work to engage in conversation. No, no way. But sadly, I've heard professing believers who bragged about going to the local strip club so they could, quote-unquote, share the gospel, justifying their sin and entering into that establishment by saying that since they had good conversations, notice, not gospel, no gospel was shared, but good conversations with some of the men in the place, that justified their going there. Ladies, please don't be fooled. If you want to go to the parking lot of the local strip club and hand out gospel tracts, I can see that. But be wise and don't be alone. Go with at least one man, and it had better be obvious just by driving by that you're sharing tracts with people, or you could be guilty of causing your brother to sin. Seriously, if a new believer who struggles with pornography and lust sees you going into that place, you're damaging their conscience as they now wrestle with, when is it okay to go into the strip club? To be clear, if the strip club is on fire, fine, go inside and help the people get out. But otherwise, don't enter into the sin of the world and think you can use this verse to justify that. What this verse is talking about is really obvious, I think. If you're going to invite your Muslim neighbor over for dinner, don't serve pork loin. When we had the opportunity to visit an Amish school in our area and meet with the kids and the teachers, I wore a skirt in January. not because I had to, but out of respect of what I understand to be their culture. I asked before taking any pictures, and I didn't ask to take pictures of them, but of their horses and their property. I knew enough to be careful with how I dressed and how I behaved, not because I don't have a right to take pictures, but because I didn't want to cause an offense to them. Paul's joy is in sharing Christ so that others may share in the eternal blessings of the saving gospel. But we need to be careful not to forget what we have been called out of when he saved us, and the holiness we have been called to. Paul now points back to these believers in Corinth. He pulls back from defending himself and applies what he said to the Corinthian believers. He encourages them to run the race that has been set for them, the life of a believer in Christ, and to run it well. This would have been a very familiar analogy to the Corinthians. Corinth was the host of the Isthmian Games, which was one of four games important to Greek life. The Olympic Games were held every 4 years, and the Isthmian Games were held both the year before and the year after the Olympic Games. Thus, as Paul is using this analogy, the Corinthians would have understood the truth and importance of this analogy. Athletes had to have self-control and discipline so they could win. While an athlete might have the right to drink and eat as much as they wanted, they would set that right aside for the goal they were after. In fact, in verse 27, when Paul uses the phrase, "I discipline my body," that actually has a connotation of hitting under the eye. It's a knockout punch. Basically, Paul is saying he knocked out the bodily impulses to keep those impulses from preventing him from his mission. For the Corinthians, the goal isn't to be good or moral people who are still unsaved. The goal is to live as those who have been brought from death to life, because they had been brought from death to life. Paul calls them to the same standard he himself holds to die to self and set aside freedom, as he has done in countless ways, not just in not demanding payment. Paul calls them to set aside their freedoms and rights instead of using those rights as a license to hurt other believers. Paul urges them to heed the God-appointed warnings in Scripture so they will persevere to the end. This is not teaching that you can lose your salvation, but this is urging them, in all soberness and self-control, to hold fast, just as Paul himself is doing. In our lives, ladies, we can make the gospel attractive or repulsive. Paul was giving these instructions here to the people regarding how to behave toward other brothers and sisters in Christ, and then he expands the principle as he explains how he sets aside his rights to bring the gospel to as many as possible. Ladies, my questions for us today are these. Is the gospel precious to you? Are you looking for ways and opportunities to share that precious gospel with others? How are you running your race? Are you running your race, pushing for your rights to the point that the race is, well, all about you? What race are you really running? What is your goal? Think about that and consider your life. We must not shy away from sharing the full truth of the gospel, but we must balance that with grace and care that shows that we do consider others as better than ourselves. There is, of course, balance here, as in all things, but it is far easier for us to fall on the side of self than on the side of sacrifice. What opportunities do you have to share the gospel with those around you? Does your behavior or attitude push those people away? We must engage with our neighbors, with our co-workers, with those around us, not causing offense, but gently looking for opportunities to share the true gospel with those people. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website, naomistable.com, day 18. Run the race, don't trip the other runners.